It's nice to see so many who come and be with us tonight for the preaching of the gospel. Now, we plan to continue preaching tomorrow night here at 7:30. We ask you to return and then consider the children's meeting on Friday evening in Rosebank at 6:30. We ask you to consider that. Now, before we read together, let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the goodness of God. We are thankful, Father, that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's really the goodness of God that finds us here tonight, to be able to open the Bible and to read what God has to say. We pray, Father, that we will listen for the voice of God, and we will know what it is to hear and our souls to live. Father, we do pray for the preaching of the gospel in every place tonight where it is preached. We pray for Marcus, Cain, and David Hunt over there as they preach the gospel in Truro. We ask thee for them. Then we think of the different places where the word of God is opened and ministered to the saints. Father, tonight we pray most of all that power would be given to us as we preach. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The first book in your Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, please. The book of Genesis and chapter 3. You can take your time and find Genesis 3, verse 1, so we have time. I want you to think while we're reading this together. I want you to think about one thing. What does God want to say to me? There are a lot of things that we preach about in the gospel that is information that's new to us, things that we are learning, right? So when we present things about God and we present things about the cross, we present things about eternity, sometimes they are new and we're learning new things. But I'm going to ask you to go beyond just collecting information tonight. Not just learning new things, but listening. What is God trying to say to me? Because the Bible is not just a book of information, right? Now, I know I look around and I see people who are very smart and very good in school, maybe. Maybe you're very educated. But the Bible is not just about getting information in my mind. The Bible is about God speaking. So God uses the Word of God, the Bible, to reach not just our mind. It goes beyond our mind into our heart. But it goes beyond our heart. It's not just what we think and it's not just how we feel, but it gets right to our conscience so that God is trying to reach you with a message. So ask yourself, what is the message God has for me? In listening for the message of God, we're going to be reading Genesis 3 and you're going to be thinking, am I in this passage? Am I in this portion of the Bible? And if so, how? Am I like Adam? Am I like Eve? And if so, how? What did God say to them? What did God do for them? And if God did it to them and did for them, maybe God is saying the same thing to me. And maybe God has done something for me. Very simply now, we're going to listen for what God has to say in Genesis 3, verse 1. The Bible says, now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he, that is the serpent, said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now on down to verse number 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats of skins. There are two different types of clothing in Genesis chapter 3. Two different types of clothes. There's the apron of fig leaves, and there's the coat of skins. The apron of fig leaves is what they made for themselves. The coat of skin is what God did for them. And I want to show you the difference between the two. The apron made from fig leaves, and the coat made from skins. Adam and Eve were created perfectly. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the first man was perfect in the way that he was created. The first woman was perfect in the way that she was made. Now, I don't know what the first man would have looked like as a perfect man, but he was a perfect man. And I don't know what the first woman would have looked like as a perfect woman, but she was a perfect woman. And in innocence, they had never yet sinned. Never yet sinned. And they had a relationship with God. They had a connection to God that was real. You see, that's something I think that we sometimes don't think about in our world, right? Is that you were created to have a real living connection with God. Not with many gods, and not with the false gods, but with the God of heaven. The one true God who created all things created you so that he could enjoy a relationship with you, and you could enjoy a relationship with him. That is, and always was, God's design. So that meant that they talked together. That meant that they walked together. And Adam would tell God things, and God would tell Adam things. That's what it means to commune together, communicate together. And every day this would have happened. I get the sense that God came down every day and talked to Adam and Eve, and they walked together, enjoying each other's company, until one day when this serpent, the devil, comes. The devil comes and he tests Adam and Eve. He tempts them. He tempts them with something that God said they never were to have. Now, just for a second, I want you to think about this. God said, there's one tree in the midst of the garden, and you're not to eat of it. All the other trees, you can eat the fruit off of them. But that one tree, you'll not eat the fruit off of that one. And if you eat it, you'll die. Sounds a little extreme, doesn't it? In a world where we know there are murderers now, and we know that there are mass murderers and great deceivers and people who are hurting people all the time, we think, surely, one little apple, I was going to say, is not necessarily an apple, was it? One little piece of fruit, one little action where you disobey God on such a small, small level, is that really serious? I'll tell you this, that one act of disobedience, we are told, made the whole world sinners. That one act of disobedience took mankind from being connected to God to being disconnected from God. That one little act of disobedience was enough not just to keep Adam from the presence of God, but to keep the billions of people who have come after Adam from the presence of God. We are told in the book of Romans, by one man, sin entered into the world. When was that? When they took of the fruit. So, sometimes we like to compare ourselves to one another, right? We like to look at someone else and, you know, I'm pretty tall compared to some of you. But then I stand next to some of my other friends and I'm short, right? So you can't really compare to each other because that just makes us feel good sometimes and then feel very inadequate at other times, right? But that's how we do it when it comes to sin in our world, isn't it? So that you tell lies. You've told a lie before, I'm sure. Maybe you've taken something that doesn't belong to you, I'm sure. And you think, well, yes, I'm a sinner, but there are worse sinners out there, right? And you can even look around this room tonight and you might be able to point out someone who's done more bad things than you. Yes? I was praying at the beginning of the meeting for a man named David. David Hunt is preaching the gospel tonight in Truro. David has told me this story before and others have heard it. They were having a picnic in the park in Wentworth, and someone was giving a Sunday school lesson. And whenever they were giving the lesson, they asked the kids, can you show me a sinner? And this little girl pointed right at her cousin and said, right there, there's a sinner. And he stood up. The little boy stood up on his feet, and he said, I'm not a sinner. And he looked around and he saw everyone staring at him and he said, well, maybe a little one. But see, that's what we do, isn't it? We look around and we see everybody else who's worse than us makes us think that we're okay, right? But when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to God, God doesn't measure you by me. And he doesn't measure me by you. He measures all of us compared to the perfect, holy standard of the Lord Jesus. He measures us by perfection so that there are people tonight who are on the road to a lost eternity and they are murderers. But there's also people tonight on the road to a lost eternity and they've never killed anybody. There are people who are going down and they've stolen cars. And there are people who are going down and they've only stolen cookies. You see, what I'm saying is this. God is not comparing you to anyone else. He's holding you accountable for every little sin that you have done. And what happened when that one sin came into the world is something that changed humanity forever. It took Adam and Eve from being connected to God to being disconnected from God. And that might not sound serious to us, but I think it's the most serious thing you could ever think about. Why? Because here were two people, and they used to hear God's voice and walk toward God. They wanted to spend time with God. They had no fear of God. They had a connection. But when sin came into the world, now when God comes into the garden and he calls, they don't walk toward God. They run away from God, right? And they didn't just run away from God. They found a place to hide. I would take it they hid in the thickest of the bushes that they could find. Why? Because sin took them from being connected to God to making them afraid of God. You need to be honest now. When you think about meeting God, do you have peace? Now, I'm not talking about meeting someone you don't like on the street or someone who intimidates you in the gospel hall. But meeting God face to face, do you have peace? Or are you hiding? See, God comes down and God calls and Adam hides. God calls and Adam runs. But eventually, he can't hide or run anymore. Something good for us to be reminded of every night. Now, maybe God is trying to tell someone in this meeting something. This is our lifetime, here and now, living and breathing in lifetime. This is eternity. And there are many people who will try and hide from God in their lifetime. They will avoid hearing the gospel. They'll avoid facing the gospel. They will avoid thinking about their soul in their lifetime, hiding from God, going their own way. But here's the thing. There's coming a day when you will not be able to hide from God. You must meet him. So Adam comes out. He comes out of the bushes, so to speak, and he's wearing something. He's wearing these clothes that he made. Now he's trying to cover himself up with fig leaves. I don't know what a fig leaf would look like. I'm assuming that when you put a bunch of them together, it makes some kind of a covering, right? They sewed them together. I don't think they had thread. They would have just taken whatever kind of vines or sticks and just made some kind of a makeshift covering. But I want you to see, in this passage, the word that is used for apron is only the idea of a covering that starts about here and ends about here. So they took their fig leaves and they sewed them together. They went to all that trouble. Why? They were scared to meet God without it. They didn't want to meet God without a covering. And they sewed it all together and they put it on. But remember, it's only covering from here to here. And they come out now into the presence of God and they think, well, at least I've got something to meet God with. But fig leaves aren't a good covering, are they? You want to think about leaves. I mean, maybe they put it together today. What would happen tomorrow? The leaves might get a little old and dry. The leaves might get a little bit discolored. Maybe they'd even fall apart. But the fact is this. No matter how good of a job they did, it didn't cover the entire body. See? Now you say, well, why are you talking about fig leaf skirts, because Adam and Eve making an apron of fig leaves together so that they could have some kind of covering to meet God with is what we do a lot as sinners. Rather than come to Christ for salvation, we get religious, right? So in our religion, we try to make a covering. And we try to soothe our conscience and say, when I meet God, he's going to look at me and say, did you go to church? And I'll say, yes, I went to church. Well, that's my fig leaves. And he's going to ask me, were you baptized? And some would say, yes, I was baptized. That's my fig leaves. Maybe he'll say, did you take communion? Yes, I took communion. Well, that's my fig leaves. And if I was going to church and baptized and took communion and did good deeds for people and to people, then my fig leaves will be enough to meet God with. You see, all of these things are just like making your own apron with fig leaves. But it doesn't matter how much and how hard you sew together your fig leaves, it still doesn't cover. Right? Doesn't cover. So here Adam and Eve come out with half of a covering, and it's no covering at all. And God talks to them. And when God talks to them, he talks to them about their sin. What have you done? What did you do? You see, Adam has to answer to God at this point. Hiding in the bushes, he didn't have to tell anybody what he had done. Running away from God, he could pretend like nothing happened. But face to face with God, he must give an answer. Now again, just to be clear, there's coming a day when all of us will be face to face with God and give an answer. But Adam didn't really have a good answer. He had an excuse, right? Now I want you to think about this with me. How many of us are like this? If Norman and I go up street and I'm driving the car and I'm talking to him and he's talking to me, we're enjoying each other's company and he makes me laugh and I go too fast and the police pull me over. And the police with their blue lights pull me over on the side of the road and they give me a ticket. And as soon as they hand me the ticket, I say, Norman, if it wasn't for you making me laugh, I wouldn't have got this ticket, right? We like to blame other people, don't we? We turn and we say, well, if it wasn't for my parents, I might not be like this. If it wasn't for the fact that, and we like to blame everything. Well, Adam blamed his wife, right? When God said, what did you do? Adam turned to his wife and said, she did it. She made me do it, right? And then when he talked to Eve and said, Eve, what did you do? She turned to the serpent and said, the serpent made me do it. So you see, Adam and Eve are just like us. We love to blame other people for our sin. But remember, God is not going to punish you for my sin. And God is not going to allow you to make excuse for your sin. Here he was now, a covering that was no good, meeting God in his sin. But remember, I talked about two coverings. I talked about the fig leaves, and I talked about the skin. Now, after God talks to Adam and Eve, for the sake of time, we'll move through this. After he talks to them, and after they blame each other, and then they blame the serpent, God says, there's consequences for sin. Here's what I'm going to do. You need a covering? I'll give you a covering. But the covering is not going to be of fig leaves. And the covering is not going to be from here to here. The covering is going to be complete. The covering is going to be right from the neck all the way down. God is not going to give them aprons. God is going to give them coats. You see the difference? Because the aprons of fig leaves would never, ever cover completely. God is saying, what I give, The covering I give you is going to be complete. The covering I give you is going to be enough. The covering I give you will be enough to face God with. But the covering God gives is going to require that an animal dies. See? A coat of skin is really the skin of an animal. And God takes an animal or animals, and those animals die. And in order for Adam and Eve to have a covering that is complete, there must be blood that is shed. Now think of this with me. Our fig leaves, our good works, and our religion could never give us a covering in the presence of God. But God can give you a covering. God can give you a covering that will make you completely fit to be in His presence. God will give you a covering that is complete. Now, it's not a literal coat, but it's something that covers completely so that there's nothing left undone. But remember, the covering that God wants to give you, you can only have it if someone dies. That's why the cross of the Lord Jesus is so key. It is so essential to the gospel. Why? Without the death of Christ, there's no covering for us. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way that we could be fit to be in the presence of God. If there's no cross, there's no covering. And we'll just be going around with fig leaves until we go out into eternity and meet God without a covering. But if we come to Christ for salvation, if we believe on Him, you know what God does? He gives us this covering. Because of what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, because of the blood that He shed, God now says, if you come to Him, I will make you completely ready for heaven. If you come to Him, I will take you from going away from God to being with God. I will take you from being afraid of God to being a friend of God. I will take you from heading toward hell and make you heading toward heaven. That's how wonderful this covering from God is. Now, each of us have our different sense of style. I'm not sure if that makes sense in every language, but each of us like to dress differently, right? And I'm not really good at picking out the proper clothes to wear with what, right? Like, I know this is blue, and my pants are blue, and my eyes are in between, and I feel like I look good, and I match, right? And there are other people in here tonight, and they might think that I'm underdressed or overdressed, and maybe your style is different than my style, right? Well, you have that right, and you all look good. But when it comes to heaven, there's only one outfit that makes you ready. That is the covering God gives when you trust the Lord Jesus. So from Genesis chapter 3, has God tried to tell you something? Has God spoken to your heart about being ready to meet Him? About the seriousness of sin? About the reality of this covering that He provides? See, tonight, you don't have to go home without it. There's one for every person. There's one for every size. There's one for you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.